We're in chapter 12. We're going to begin chapter 12. And as you maybe you remember chapter 11 a little bit, David's mighty men. We're going to continue to talk about David's mighty men. Not just men, but there are women that are part of the gang too. And we'll begin chapter 12 this way. Now, these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows, and they could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren, Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. So we're going to be given in chapter 12, going to be given not every name, but some of the names of the mighty men who will come and become a part of King David's army. But as you see here, these are they that came to David to Ziklag. Now, what I mean what the Bible means by that is that these men came to David way before he was king. He was hiding from King Saul there at Ziklag and many of the other areas. Remember, for a little over 10 years, David hid from the king, from King Saul. David had been anointed the king and had to run for his very life. He didn't sit on the throne. He was the rightful king. He was the anointed king, but he didn't sit on the throne. He was in exile. He was rejected. And we learn that these people came to him while he kept himself close because of Saul. While he hid from King Saul, while he was running for his life, these people came and found him. And they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. And I like this. They had abilities. They had skills. What do I mean? They were armed with bows and arrows, you know, and they could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones. David was a good stone hurler. And these men they had abilities. They had some talent here. They were good at what they did, right-handed and left-handed. Both they could sling these stones. Well, just keep in mind that when these people came, their families came with them. So you don't only have men here, you have men and women, and you have children even. You'll find that David will be very careful to take care of the women and the children. The men would go out to fight, but he would make sure the women and the children were always cared for, were always taken care of. Here we see some of their names as you read through chapter 12. And even a little bit of what they might accomplish. You saw that in chapter 11 as well. A little bit of what they might have accomplished. And they came to David. I want to emphasize this once again. During the time of what we call his exile, he had been rejected even though the Lord had chosen him. He had been anointed by the prophet Samuel. Remember that. The youngest son of Jesse. And he had been anointed king, but he never got to be king. He went and worked. He did work around the palace, around King Saul's place. But King Saul tried to kill him quite a few times, and finally he had to run for his life and stayed out there on the run for 10 years or so. So he was really the king, but he had been rejected by Israel and rejected by all the people, even though he was anointed king. And these men, called his mighty men, came to him during this exile, when he was not on the throne overseeing all of Israel, when he was not seated where he belonged, when he was rejected, these mighty men, they came to him. And I think, I hope, you can see clearly a correlation here to Jesus Christ in this world today. When you read through these chapters, and sometimes you say, well, I read through them, But I don't know why what they have to do with me. I don't know why we should even bother to read through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, people will say. Because so-and-so begat so-and-so. And yeah, this guy, he killed 300 guys while he was guarding a barley field. And so what? Well, so this. This is a correlation. David here becomes a type of Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus Christ is, we won't use the term exile, we'll just use the term rejected. Jesus Christ, in case you're wondering who the King of Kings really is, God's anointed is, God's chosen, he's the King. Where is he? Sitting on the rightful throne, overseeing mankind? No, as a matter of fact, sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, rejected by the world. And today, this day, Jesus is calling people to come to himself, to come to me, he says. They are, if you will, we are, if you can stand it, his mighty men and women. We are. And these are the days of Christ's rejection. The world has rejected him as their king, even though he is the anointed one. President Obama is not. And more are calling him the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. Yet he's not on the throne ruling and reigning here on the earth. But he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's in exile. He is rejected. His own people said it out loud. The Jews themselves cried out. Read through the Gospels. This is what they cried out. We will not have this man rule over us. We have no king but Caesar. Away with him. We will not have him rule over us. He is not our king. Remember that? When Pilate asked them, what about Jesus? Give us Barabbas. Well, I'll give you Barabbas, but what should I do with your king? We have no king but Caesar. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. We will not have this man rule over us. We reject him as king. And Jesus is right there, right now, at the right hand of the Father. Excuse me. But he will return, and I believe soon, to his rightful position. To assume his position on the throne, on this earth, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the anointed one, yes, but he's been rejected. Just exactly as King David was rejected and was gone and was away from the throne. During the time of King David's rejection, now put this all together. During his exile, many came to him from all sections of the land. Many came to David. Many came to him and placed themselves, here it is, willingly under his command. We believe you are the king. As a matter of fact, you are our king. Voluntarily, willingly, submitting themselves to their king, even though their king had been rejected by the people. And I think you see it today, don't you? Do you see how it works in our life? Do you understand what we're reading when we read 1 Chronicles chapter 12? We're seeing the very same thing with Jesus today. We come to him not because we have no choice. We have a choice. We come to Jesus willingly. Don't we? When you accepted Jesus Christ, no one forced you to. No one said you must and you've got to do it now. It was all your choice. And the Holy Spirit called you and you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and you're saved by grace through faith. We come to Jesus and think about this willingly from all parts of this earth. Not just one little place, but from all parts of this land called earth. Just as these bold, brave mighty men came to Jesus, or came to David from all around this land. You know what we do? We come to him willingly and we give our lives to him for what? We surrender to him as our Lord and Savior, as our Master, as our King. We willingly live now to serve our King. Just as David's mighty men willingly enlisted themselves into his army and said, "We serve you. You are our King. Your wish is our command. We give our lives to you. We will lay our lives down for your sake, King David." Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what we say to Jesus Christ? We are yours. Take our lives. We surrender our will. Doesn't Jesus say, "If any man will come after me, any woman come after me, let them first deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and imitate me, follow me." And we willingly say what? "Yes, Lord." Willingly. And because Jesus is rejected, think about this. Because Jesus is rejected. Well, let me just move it back. Because David is rejected, the mighty men that hooked themselves up with David are also what? Rejects. They are rejected. Saul wants them dead as well. Whoever is with David is considered a dead man. Because Jesus is rejected, his followers are rejected. Just as David's mighty men were. And if we truly follow our King, Jesus, Satan's followers will be our enemies. H.A. Ironside wrote this in one of his commentaries. If you are popular with the world, you might want to take a good hard look at yourself. Because, you see, Jesus has been rejected. King David has been rejected. And so the men and the family, the men and women, the families that are willing to serve King David are rejected by the rest. Jesus has been rejected. And the men and the women, all of those willingly willing to serve Jesus, are rejected by the enemy, or considered the enemy. Get it? "I don't think the world is going to love me." I've heard there's a group of people that really just hate me. I can't imagine why. But it's a good sign. Because if they hate Jesus, and we say, "We are yours, you are our King," they're going to hate us too. We need to be afraid. If everybody agrees with us and everybody thinks we're groovy, there's that word, because something's desperately wrong. They don't feel that way about Jesus. They certainly shouldn't feel that way about me then. They don't feel that way about Jesus. I don't believe they ought to feel that way about you then. Do you? Because we want to willingly serve our King. Well, look at verse 14. I'm all the way down to 14. Are you there? "These were the sons of Gad." Let me stop. Gad. They remained on the east side of the river. What am I talking about? You take a look at a map and you see that they remained, some of them, on the east side of the Jordan. Outside the land. Remember that? So now, verse 14. "These were the sons of Gad, captains of the host, one of the least was over 100. The greatest over 1,000. And these are they that went over Jordan in the first month, when it had overflown all its banks. And they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold, to where David was hiding." Remember, he's not the king. He's in hiding. "They came to the hold unto David. And David went out to meet them."
those from Gath, and answered and said to them, if you become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if you become to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in my hands, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. All right, this is cool. Word comes to King David. Some from the tribe of Gad have crossed the Jordan River, and they're defeating some of the people on the way, and they're headed over here, David. I think they're looking for you. It's a group of men, warriors. Here's what the Bible says about them. Brave men, mighty men. They swam and forded, crossed the Jordan River, the Bible says, at flood stage, when it's the deepest and the widest and the hardest to get across. Think about that, everybody. Meaning it was the most difficult time to do that, and they chose to do it. We're going across. Whatever it takes, we're going. We're going to go find King David. And King David came out, of course, with his mighty men, with his armies. And he went down to meet them. Now notice, David here, he shows us, he doesn't know whether they were friends or enemies coming to attack. He doesn't know. Here come some fighting men, and they're clearing a path by fighting others in their way, on the way. And he doesn't know what they're here for. Basically, if you're here as friends, you're welcome. But if you're here as enemies, you know, calling upon the name of the Lord, here's the language. If you're here as enemies, I will destroy you. You know, we'll just call upon the Lord himself. So David didn't know. Here's what they answer. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, thank you, who is chief of the captain. And he said, because David just said, tell me, are you friend or foe? And he said, thine are we. That's a good place. That's a good thing to have underlined in your Bible. Let me say in American. We are yours, David. And we are on your side, thou son of Jesse. Peace. Peace be unto thee and peace to thine helpers. For thy God is helping you. Here it is. God is on your side. And David received them and made them captains of the band, made them leaders. He lifted them up into positions of authority. What just went on? A group of men, mighty men, brave men, willing to cross the Jordan at flood stage, meaning this is the hardest and most difficult time to get across here, but we are crossing because we want to belong to King David. We believe he's king. David said, I don't know if you're friend or foe. They said, we are yours. We belong to you. We are not your enemies. We've come to join with you. They wanted to be with King David, and wait, they wanted to be in his service. They didn't ask for top positions. You read it with me, did they? We are yours. You put us where you want us there. If you want us doing KP, working in the kitchen, fine. I saw a t-shirt and I thought, we ought to buy some of those and put it in our bookstore. It wasn't Christian. It just said this. Everybody wants a revolution, but nobody wants to do the dishes. And I thought that's true. You know what I mean? We all want the kingdom of God to go forth, but there's some stuff that has to happen. You know, there's cleanup. There's all this stuff and everybody wants to see that, but nobody wants to make the effort to get to that. And these men are saying, whatever you want, that's what we are. We are yours. You are our king. We are not your enemies. We are on your side. Think about it. How many Christians, including me and you today, how many of us want to call Jesus our Savior and our King, and then we stand by while others listen to the orders, and obey the orders. How often do we forget that we're in the Lord's army too? The children sing, "I'm too young to march in the infantry, shoot the artillery." A cute song. But I'm in the Lord's army. And we think, cute song. So I'm one of those that believes that all these children's songs should have been for the adults. Because when you listen to the words, you think, yeah, I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I just want to be, right? And then we just leave that with the children. But you ever think about these words? We're in the Lord's army. How did we get there? There is no draft. There is no forcing you into the military service of the kingdom of heaven. It's all volunteer. And they said, we are yours. We volunteer. We fought our way. It was hard to get here from there. And we fought our way. And we're not your enemies. We belong to you. You just tell us what to do and how you want it done. And you consider it done, David. So, you know what? Here's the real point. Do we, Christian, as you see King David, a type of Jesus, Jesus is our king. David is the king. Yeah, he's not on the throne, but David is still the anointed one. He's the king. Jesus is the king. Sure, he's in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but he's coming back and he will sit on the throne and he is our king today, no matter where he's sitting. Isn't that true? So the real point is this. Do we want to live for our king? Do we say to our king, I am yours. Whatever you want for me, I am yours. You want me to work in the kitchen? I'm no good at it, but okay, hand me a towel and let's see what happens to us. You know, God gives us gifts as it pleases him. And some of you, I know this for a fact, you have more than one gift. Some of you don't. Some of us have one and maybe just barely one. But we have one and you have more than one gift and we can do a lot of things for God. And when you start doing things for God, one thing I see is, as you know, well-meaning other Christians are going to try and shut you down from it. That's not your call. You're missing. You're forgetting that it just comes with the territory. It always has to happen. Somebody's going to be there to shut you down. But if you said, Lord, let me do something for you. I could do this. God might say, go. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat. And what does Jesus say? Can't get out of the boat. And everybody else goes, don't get out of the boat, man. What are you doing? Sit down. You're rocking the boat, as a matter of fact. Now he told me to come out there. Step out in faith. When I told Pastor Chuck Smith that we were thinking about the possibility of making a movie, I thought he was going to laugh and say, man, you are mental. You know what he said? Of course, this is Pastor Chuck. He just laughed that laugh. Oh, ha, ha. He goes, I love it. Have you ever done that before? I said, we've done a few little drama things, but no, sir. He goes, step out in faith. I love it. If you sink, he said, you might swallow water, but God will hold you up. And I thought, thank you, because there are so many voices going, don't do that. Don't do that. That's so dopey. Don't do that, you guys. You've probably heard it before, haven't you? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be an usher. You're going to be an usher? Right. Yeah, you can't even spell usher. Don't do it. Don't do it. Hey, do it. Do that. God laid down in your heart. Do that. Look at these men. We are yours. These men were saying, we are on your side, King. We yield ourselves to you. We now live for you, King David. What you would order us to do, that's what we will do. Just give us our orders. Isn't that amazing? We have crossed the Jordan. Christian, in our lives, what does that mean, cross the Jordan? Really, what it means is we've been born again by grace through faith, brought into the kingdom of our God. Is he on the throne here on the earth? Not yet, but he will be. He is our king. We crossed the Jordan spiritually. Jesus brought us across the Jordan. We now have eternal life in him by grace through faith. Now we're still in this world and we can live for our King. And that's why chapters 11 and 12 and following are in the book of 1 Chronicles and 1 and 2 Kings as well. That's why they're there. So that you and I remember what we're all about. We can dedicate our lives to the service of our King, Jesus Christ, even though he's not here on the throne on this earth yet. He is rejected, but we, by grace through faith, come to Jesus and say, we are for you. We love you. We will serve you. Give us our orders. We are the Lord's army. Wow, think about it. And think about this. Right here, right now, according to God's word, here on this earth is the only place that you and I can actually live the Christian life. Our work will be done soon. Right here, right now. This is our chance to serve our King. Though he is rejected, right here and right now. This is your chance. It's your only chance. You see, when he returns, you'll be in a different position. You'll be ruling and reigning, different position altogether. Right now, as he's rejected, we are his spokespeople. We are his ambassadors. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. Isn't that true? We have his word, and he's called us to take that word to the gospel, to every living creature. That's us. We get to do that, however we get to do it. You know, I think we're sort of blessed because we have technology that helps us do that. Because we can have a Bible study together. We could record that, and somebody could take the CD. And then they could listen to it and they could hand it to a friend and that friend can hand it to a friend. And so even if they weren't there at the study, they can still hear the word of God, can't they? I mean, we're blessed. Paul didn't have that opportunity. What Paul could do, and James and John and David or anybody, what they could do was write it down and ask someone to carry this over. But just think of the technology that we have. We have an ability to, someone could just click in right now from Tennessee or from Texas, or from wherever they are on the planet, and join with us live, no matter what time it is at their house. Join with us live, and they can sit on Bible studies. You can do that for the Calvary Costa Mesa, many of the Calvaries, many of the churches around the country, and you can join in on their Bible studies. We are blessed with the technology to get God's Word and just let it go further than the four walls that we live behind. This is our chance to serve the King. Here and now. There will come a time when it won't be like this anymore. It's your chance, my chance, to give our lives to Jesus. To be used in his army for his glory, for his kingdom. While he's still rejected, to live right here and right now for his glory. Think about it, because we serve our King. We live for our King. You have the freedom, not for long, but right now, to tell your children about Jesus. You have that freedom right now. There is talk that freedom will go away. So everybody whines and complains that it might go away. You know, that's kind of backwards. Why whine and complain that it might go away out there? Why not take advantage of it here and now and tell the children that Jesus loves them, and live your life and let them see and read the Bible to them, or take the opportunities to do the Bible studies and those things. This is our chance to be used for his glory. And you know, to do all that, I'm looking at my notes here, to do all of that right here and right now, the only way that the Bible tells us we can do all that is to yield ourselves to the King. In verses 14 through 18, I read to you, what did those men do? They came to the King And they said, we are yours. We yield ourselves completely. Wherever you station us, that's where we are stationed. Wherever you, whatever assignment you give us, that is our assignment. We don't come to you asking for favors. We come to you giving our lives to live for you and to serve for you. To live our lives each and every day for Jesus. Think about that. When I was in the military, I didn't get to choose where I could go. I did volunteer for some things. And the military, that's crazy. But, you know, my dad told me, my dad was in the military almost 30 years, and here's what he said. He said, the two rules just remember in the military, shut up and stay in the middle. I forgot those things. I have not shut up since I was a year old, and I don't usually end up in the middle. Some call it pride. You call it whatever you like. That's your business. You can think what you want about me. But I just don't end up in the middle. And I didn't in the military. And a couple of times I volunteered for situations. But for the most part, they would tell me, this is what you're going to do. And when it was my turn in the kitchen, they only gave me a few times. You put me in the kitchen. One or two times is enough. And if you want the other men to live. They figured it out quickly. But they would put you in the armory. Today you're in the armory. This is what you're going to do. You know, yeah, but I was trained to drive this heavy equipment. That's right. And so what you're going to do now is you're going to peel these potatoes. And they put you in a room and the potatoes are 4 foot deep. And the room is almost as big as this room and you just start peeling. Why? Because we are yours. We belong to you. You are the commander. You are my commanding officer. And this is my assignment. Today, tomorrow, I might be doing something else. Tomorrow you might be building a runway. Who knows what you're going to be doing? In Jesus Christ, I have found it the same way. I volunteer for certain areas, but then he says, no, you go here. I believe this is, you know, I believe God wants me to go here. And I believe God wants me to do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm not good at this. But that's the assignment God's given me. So you do it. Don't you do the same thing, all of you? I hope so. I think so. Live our lives for him. Serve our King. Obey his commands. You're going to find in John chapter 14, Jesus mentioned a couple of times, you love me, obey my commandments, keep my commandments. The one that has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one, or that is the one that loves me. Remember that? John chapter 14. We receive our orders each day, and by his grace, through the power of his Holy Spirit, we carry those orders out. Not in our own strength. Remember those guys we read at the beginning of the chapter? They could use the left hand and the right hand. Those men were mighty men. They were men that God gave abilities to. I think you are mighty men and women. What do I mean? I believe that you could probably sling a sling with the right or left hand. Maybe not a sling, but you may be able to write. You may be able to. There are a lot of things you can do. And God has given you those abilities and those talents to do them. And now you surrender your life to him. We are yours. And you say, I've got this ability. What do I do with it? And God might call you out and say, all right, your assignment for today is to do this. Wow. As this chapter goes along, you're going to see, I won't read it to you. Because you're going to find out it's basically giving you the ranks and giving you the numbers. And here's what you're going to see. As this chapter goes along, you're going to see that all 12 of the tribes of Israel are mentioned. That simply shows us that all of the land finally came under the kingship or the rule of David. He was rejected, but finally all of the land came under King David's rule. He was actually the king of Israel. After years and years and years of exile, anointed at around 15 years old, sitting upon the throne at around 30. David was anointed by God to be king, and God's people finally acknowledged God's anointing. Jesus is now rejected. Just like you saw King David, rejected by the world. But there is coming a day, according to God's word, when Jesus will be recognized as God's anointed king, even here on this planet. And he will return and sit upon a throne
the throne of King David. And he will sit as the true King of Kings, as the one and only anointed one, the true Messiah. Not just by Israel will he be recognized, but by the world, the whole world. And we're told he will rule and reign over the entire earth after he returns. Just like David ruled and reigned over the entire nation once he got to the throne, once he returned from exile, once he returned from his rejection. And there will finally be peace, by the way, in all of the land when Jesus is on the throne. And you know something? You've already seen it in chapter 11. You just saw it in chapter 12. When King David was elevated to the throne, King David's men and his followers were elevated also. Notice that? Aren't we told that by our own Lord? That when he sits upon the throne, we will what? Rule and reign with him. Those who came to Jesus Christ willingly, in his rejection, when he sits upon the throne, will hold positions of authority and responsibility. Notice those men who came to him and said, "We are yours." He placed them in positions of authority. Once he becomes king, these are his mighty leadership. These are the ones who rule and reign with him. These are his inner council we read about in chapter 11. Remember those? We're seeing a picture of what it will be like when Jesus returns to rule and reign on this earth. Until that time, what do? Come to Jesus willingly. Anyone who will come is free to come to Jesus Christ. He is rejected. We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. We don't want him. Away with him. He went back to the Father sitting at the right hand, making intercession for who? Those that are his. His mighty men and women, in other words, his army, his body, his bride, his church. You know what Jesus cries out in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He says this, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Listen to these words. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Think of the king. You are our king, David. We submit to your authority. Your commands are our orders. We will obey. We will follow you. You go into battle, we go with you. Where you go, we go. Think about Jesus. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He's given us assignments. He's given us battle stations. We are told that we are in a spiritual war, and we are told that there is spiritual armor that we need to put on daily. That it's a spiritual battle. So listen to what he just said. Every one of you that is burdened. What does that mean? Misunderstood. Don't raise your hand. You ever feel misunderstood? Misunderstood. Mistreated. That's what burden means. How about this one I like? Misfits. Every one of you that's a misfit. Every one of you that is carrying such a heavy load of guilt and shame, burdened and heavy laden. Each and every one of you that have been forgotten or misused or abused. All of you that labor and strain, he says, and under heavy, heavy load, the idea is collapsing under the stress and the strain of this very life. So he's talking to when he says, everybody come. He says, every one of you, you come to me and I will give you rest. I'll take off the load. I'll take off the burden. I'll take off all of this trouble, this labor and this heavy load. I'll give you rest.
Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek. What is meekness? Meekness is, somebody has said it this way, they describe it as fur-lined steel. Meekness is strength and power that's under control at all times. Jesus, in the garden, when they came to arrest him, said, you can put away the baseball bats and the knives. You don't need them. If I didn't want to be arrested, I wouldn't let you arrest me. Power and strength under control. That's what meekness is. Meekness is not weakness. There's a lot he could have done to them. But he said, no, go ahead. Put those things away. I'm turning myself in is the idea. So here's what he says. You take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Lowly in heart? Well, if you want an example of lowly in heart, go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and watch these powerful men cross at a time when it's the hardest time at all, fight their way to find David. When they find him, say, we're yours. We give our lives to you. You see, that's what humility is. And that's what Jesus says he is like. Meek and lowly in heart, humble. And then he says, every one of you that comes to me will find rest. Where? Listen, deep in your heart of hearts. That's what he just said. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. Places where people can't get to. You'll find rest deep in your heart of hearts, in your souls. An honest peace and rest in your heart of hearts. You know, that's what the world is after. When they say, all I really want is to be happy and to be at peace. When you hear these Hollywood movie stars, they make me laugh. They don't know. But when you hear them say, we just want peace. You know, give peace a chance. All we are saying, there is only one way to get peace, and that's to get Messiah. You can never have peace without Jesus. There has not been a single year of peace around this in the entire planet since Jesus ascended back to the Father. There's been some war somewhere, people preparing for war and fighting wars, and there are wars right now all over this planet being fought right now, even as we speak. You cannot have peace without the Prince of Peace, and he's been rejected. The only way you're going to have peace is to bring him back. And that's what he says. Everyone that comes to me will find a deep rest, an honest peace and rest in your heart of hearts. Jesus says another thing, though. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. What does that mean? Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. King David, you are our king. We have come and we surrender to you. We're ready to fight. We are ready to serve. Just give us your orders. You get the point? I come to Jesus Christ, we surrender, and we say we are yours. And what does he say? Just go sit down and do nothing. That's not what he says. What does he say? Take up your cross. Follow me. Those that love me, obey my commandments. Love one another as I have loved you. And just go through and read the things that Jesus calls upon his children to do. So my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Here's what we see. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Even if it's hard. Even if it means you have to cross deep rivers. Even if it means you have the changes have to take place in your life. He will never let you do it alone. But come to Jesus Christ. Surrender to him. Come to him as the king. Because one day, and I believe very soon, he will return and he will sit on that throne. And you, those that are truly born again, we will rule and reign with him. We didn't ask for high positions when we came to Jesus Christ. These men didn't say, David, you know, we've had it rough. We're brave. Put us in charge. But what does the Bible say? David put them as captains. Why? Because they were truly his. You're going to rule and reign with Jesus someday. That's what he's preparing us for. So, question is, Are you ready? We ask you, Lord, as we look at King David and the mighty men there in 11 and in chapter 12 who came to him. We know every one of them isn't listed. There were many, many. And near the end of chapter 12, we see 6,000 some odd in this tribe and just so many men willingly coming to David because he's been rejected as king. We don't know, Lord, how many people on this earth right this very moment belong to you. But we know you're the king, and we know this. Anyone who belongs to you willingly surrendered. You didn't force them into your service. We love you, Lord, and we want to serve. And we would say to our king, we are yours. Take our talent, Lord. Take our time. Take our abilities. Just use us. Give us our orders, Lord. Give us our station assignments, whatever those might be. And give us hearts that are content just to follow you, trust you, and serve you. And we do pray that you would come back soon. Sit on that throne. For you are our King, and we believe you are the King, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we claim that, Lord. We ask you these things. Pray all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.